Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Paris, apologizing for the delay in funding recently and announcing more money will be going to the fight against Russia.
I've announced six packages of significant funding. Today I'm also signing an additional package for $225 million to help you reconstruct the electric grid.
The leaders there marking 80 years since D-Day this week. Benjamin Netanyahu to address a joint session of Congress on July 24th, House Speaker Mike Johnson announced last night. The Hamas-run health ministry says at least 40 people were killed in that IDF airstrike on a U.N. school-turned-shelter in central Gaza this week. Israel insists it was a Hamas compound. The Labor Department out with May jobs numbers. It's a very strong report. They thought that employers would add 190,000 jobs in May. Instead, the number more like 272,000. Dow futures have dropped on that news, down 143. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Attempts to recall Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have likely come up short a second time. WIS Politics reports the petitions were analyzed and thousands of signatures were found to be invalid for a number of reasons. Some signatures are from outside Voss's district, others are duplicates, and some were signed after the deadline. Efforts are underway to motivate young people in rural Wisconsin to vote. Organizer Emma Frederick says rural college students from western Wisconsin say they often feel overlooked.
They note that this is the first time that anyone's talked to them about voting. And while their parents might want to help or their parents don't know themselves, this is a new experience for them.
A recent study shows 63% of rural young people are infrequent or uncommitted voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Duluth residents will be able to get discounted tickets at Spirit Mountain later this month for Spirit Loves Duluth Days. The event will be held on Thursday, June 20th and Sunday, June 23rd, allowing Duluth residents to enjoy the Adventure Park attractions for just $5. In order to take advantage of the deal, Duluth residents must make a reservation with Spirit Mountain and show a valid ID or proof of residence within the city. Spirit Mountain officials say the discount days are meant to celebrate community support. A 150-mile bike ride is set to kick off from Proctor High School on Saturday. According to a Fox 21 report, the Bike MS ride will begin at Proctor High School and finish at White Bear Lake in an effort to raise money to fight against multiple sclerosis. Some teams involved in the ride have raised tens of thousands of dollars for the cause this year alone, and they're hoping the ride will garner more attention and get even more people involved in some of their other donation opportunities. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers look to bounce back. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. The Brewers are in Detroit for a weekend series against the Tigers after being swept earlier this week by Philadelphia. But manager Pat Murphy says the Philly series will help the team going forward.
I know this will be a good thing for our team to go through. Nobody likes losing. Nobody likes losing close ones. No one likes knowing you're right there and the ball just, you know, you hit balls hard and they get caught. You know, it's time to hit a fly ball and you hit a ground ball. Yeah, you know, but one lack of effort, like I've said all year, 61 games, I believe 98% of them, we've been in there till the last pitch.
The Brewers entered the Detroit series 10 games over 500. The Tigers are 31-31. First pitch in Detroit is scheduled for 5:40 p.m. Three state high school championships are this weekend. State softball and tennis are today and tomorrow in Madison, and the first ever state lacrosse championship is Saturday in Sun Prairie. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cusca.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 73 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening. Scattered thunderstorms after midnight, our low 55. Tomorrow, a few clouds in the morning, then sunny with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Medicare loses $60 billion annually to fraud. June 3rd through the 9th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent Medicare fraud, errors, and abuse. Learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, we'll be marking the 80th anniversary of D-Day. We'll hear from people that were there, and we'll ask ourselves together, what does this all mean today?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. It's Friday, so. And it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day, too.
So every day, you'd be all right if every day was Friday, right?
Yes, I would.
You know, you'll get there, man, when retirement comes, and I know you can't see it, you know, yet, when retirement comes, you will get that every day is Friday.
Yeah, it's a long ways out for me, but maybe someday.
You'll come to a point where every day will be the month of May, every year will be the year of Jubilee. That's what you have in your future.
I guess I'll believe it when I see it, but.
Hey, good morning there, stranger. Hi. Hello, stranger.
Hey, how are you? I thought every day was Saturday when you retired.
How you doing, man? How's it down?
So I'm down here in Sarasota. It's outside yesterday at the race. It felt like 105, they told you. But when you're inside a building, it's like 45. You know, they refrigerate the interior, and the outside is roastingly hot. So, so far I haven't found a comfort zone.
Well, I see you all zipped up. I mean, you got on the.
I'm sitting in a hotel lobby, and it's like really cold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that can't be healthy, can it? You know,
I don't think so. Yeah, I'll come back with some Florida form of something.
Did you run across cicadas?
No, I haven't seen any cicadas here. I've seen some strange things, but nothing like a cicada.
It's Friday. That means none other than Sandy Williams is on board. But I got to make a quick announcement before we get started. This Sunday, June 9th. Outside of Waupun Correctional Institute, there is a major protest and march. It's Stop the Torture, Close Waupun, Justice Now. The arrest and information coming out of Waupun prove what we have been saying about the torturous conditions in Wisconsin prisons. And if you're not aware of what has taken place, an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sums it up. What to know about the Waupun prison deaths, 9 staff charged, and the political fallout. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs because I'm going to have these people on next week who are going to be able to explain it even more. This is going out all over the nation, and it's happening right here in our backyard in Waupun. Sandy, you ever been to Waupun?
I have. Long ago, I was legal counsel to the governor, and so I was in charge of governor's commutation and pardon powers, and I used to go to the prisons and interview the applicants So I've been to Waupun more than once, and it's not a place where you want to be voluntarily, I'll tell you.
No, it was built in 1894. And I guess before I get into this article, the town of Waupun, it must be built around the prison. I mean, if you take Waupun prison away, wouldn't it cause some major problems to the town of Waupun?
I'm sure it would. I'm sure a significant portion of the population has either a direct or indirect connection to employment with Waupun.
All right. So 9 people who work for the Wisconsin Department of Corrections, including the former warden of Waupun Correctional Institution, have been charged in the deaths of 2 prisoners. The stunning announcement this week from the authorities in Dodge County, where the Waupun prison is located, came after an investigation by the sheriff's office into the deaths of Dean Hoffman, Tashawn Lemons, Cameron Williams, and Donald W. Meyer. The men died at the prison between June 2023 and February 2024. Charges have been filed in connection with the deaths of Williams and Meyer. And so some of these things, Sandy, were so egregious. You just, the fact that they just showed no, you know, humanity. And, you know, when, Sandy, when people are incarcerated, and the state or the federal government has people incarcerated, don't they have a responsibility to do all that they can to make sure, even though they're prisoners, that they have some liability with those people who they have in their authority?
Well, they have responsibility for the welfare of them, sure. You know, the Constitution forbids cruel and inhuman punishment, and so you can't simply put prisoners into a place and then ignore their health and welfare.
You know, Sandy, going back to the 1920s and maybe even before, that was kind of commonplace stuff, right? If you went to prison, I thought we had come a long way since then.
I think the problem is more neglect in prisons these days, and neglect and overcrowding. I was involved at that time when I was working in the government with a problem at another one of the facilities where they had failed to allow for adequate ambulance service to the prison, and they had a prisoner death as a result of an asthma attack that could have been the death could have been avoided with adequate ambulances, and you know various governors have decided to try to have a reform. They're having periodic efforts at prison reform to try and make prisons more a place of rehabilitation and less a place of pure punishment. And Wisconsin at one point was in the vanguard leadership of having prisons that were actually involved with training and rehabilitation of the prisoners. But I think we've sort of lapsed away from that.
You know, Sandy, you used a word that you are right. That used to be right at the heart of all of these things, rehabilitation. That there's not a whole lot of rehabilitation going on anymore. I know in the 70s and in the 60s, 80s, there was all about rehabilitation. Somewhere in between there, that changed. That dynamic changed.
I think part of it that caused the change was that used to be significant parole possibilities, and then the laws for imprisonment have become increasingly inflexible, with parole not permitted in many cases. And parole was a significant incentive for prisoners to get aboard rehabilitation plans and training plans. And I think with the loss, and the parole board itself had a lot to say about how long a person's stay in prison would be. And much of that has diminished, and prison has become a set term where it is required, and the public's view of prison has returned to being one much more of deterrence and punishment than it has of rehabilitation.
You know, Andraconian, 3 strikes, you're out. Truth in sentencing, no parole. And when those things came in, you remember those, Sandy, when they came into existence, it changed the whole dynamic.
Yeah, it changed the dynamic within the prisons. Right. I don't think people recognize that so as much.
So I'm going to quickly run off a couple people names and what happened, and then we'll move on with the show. Who died at Waupun Correctional Institute and under what circumstances? Hoffman, 60, died by suicide in solitary confinement on June 29th, 2023. He had a documented history of bipolar disorder and suicidal thoughts. In the 2.5 months leading to his suicide, prison staff failed to provide bipolar and antidepressant medications prescribed more than 3/4 of the time while in custody at Waupun, records show. Lemons, 30, died of an accidental overdose of fentanyl on October 2nd, 2023, despite the presence of illegal drugs in the prison. Dodge County Sheriff Dale Schmidt said the investigation showed no concerns of staff misconduct. Williams died of a rare stroke on October 30th, 2023. In the weeks leading up to his death, Williams was begging for help as his health quickly deteriorated. According to interviews with the Journal Sentinel, had with prisoners in solitary confinement unit. No medical assistance was provided. Reports were never issued, and medical passes and hourly rounds were skipped or barely meeting procedural requirements, according to court records. Sandy, you know and you understand that the taxpayers of the state will wind up having to pay the freight for these things that happen, right?
Well, I mean, there'll be lawsuits. You know, we find this out when at the local city level and at the county level and at the state level, that when there is a failure on the part of individuals to do what's required, there can be civil liability on the part of the state that can add up to a bunch of money. There are protections built into the state statutes associated with how much the state can be required to pay. But, yeah, it could be expensive.
All right, let's go to the phone lines and Catherine from Madison. Good morning to you, Catherine. How are you doing? Thank you for the call.
I'm well, thanks, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I have, when I read about this Waupun business, I was so angry and disturbed. And I know I've watched too many movies, but I love that people want to close this place because it certainly clearly deserves it. But I want those, was it 9 people, including the warden? I want them to spend their years in Waupun for a little while. I want them to go before we close it. I want them to experience what they did out loud. It makes me furious. That's it.
You know, thank you very much. I can tell you that the family members, look, you know, there are people who probably say we're bleeding hearts. These people committed the crimes. You know, and they wouldn't have been in prison had they not committed the crimes. But Sandy, you know, you and your law background, you know, sentencing that comes from people who commit crimes doesn't mean that they can be treated other than as human beings. And I want you to just touch base with that for a couple seconds on the other side, Sandy, and then we'll get into a whole lot of other things. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. That means Friday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. He's all the way in sunny and beautiful Sarasota, Florida. Scenic, Sandy, right?
No.
All right.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
If you dig into the history of the LGBTQ plus movement in our state, you may be surprised by what you find. The first public call to get rid of restrictions against gay people was discussed by Wisconsin officials in 1966.
Not long after, voters elect several openly gay leaders for the first time. But a 1982 law stands out as Wisconsin becomes the first state to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation. An extraordinary history of Wisconsin pride. I'm Terry Barr.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
My friends feel as their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And so we began the show. We were talking about a stop the torture, close war pond, Justice Now rally that's going to be taking place this Sunday, June 9th, 4:30 p.m. outside War Pond Correctional Institute. And it's dealing with four people who had lost their lives. And let me read this text message before we go to the phones. And Sandy, I want you to respond to a question I asked you right before the break. Tom from West Dallas, what a lot of those people who run the prison systems forget is that these people come to prison as punishment, not for punishment. Let's go to the phone lines. And Paul from Spooner, good morning to you, Paul. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I think that, first of all, I'm a retired law enforcement officer, so I understand the system very well. I think the state of Wisconsin really needs to look at why are we locking people up in the first place. Let's go to different states compared to Minnesota. We have three times as many people incarcerated in Wisconsin as they do in the state next door to us, who has the same population as us. So the question is, are we that much safer here because we lock so many more people up? So we need to be looking at why are we locking people up. And we're not doing a very good job treating people like human beings.
And you're a retired law enforcement officer?
Yes.
Hey, we're losing you, but thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, what he's saying is absolutely right. In the 1970s, we had empty prisons. We were looking at closing some. We sold one to the federal government, and in the space of 30 years, we went from empty prisons to having to send prisoners to Oklahoma because we were overflowing with prisoners, and it was all because we had changed our decisions about who we arrested, how many we arrested, what we arrested them for, and then how long they stayed in prison. And there are those who think that private interests, and particularly the private interests of private prisons, had something to do with how we set up new sentencing guidelines and how we decided on the three strikes are out and other things that our government decided to do. But we are sending far too many people to prison. There's just, all you have to do is an actuarial analysis of other states and other countries and realize that on a per capita basis, Wisconsin and the United States at large, but Wisconsin maybe in particular, is imprisoning far too many people. And then when they get there, they get into a situation which is not likely to change their course of behavior, so that recidivism, meaning the probability that they will repeat crimes, recidivism is quite high. So, the prison isn't solving much, and our prison system has gone from being much less expensive than our university system to being much more expensive.
Sandy, let me text from Brendan. The privatization of prisons has caused the profit in incarcerating humans. Let me ask you, Sandy, many prisons in the state of Wisconsin were built in basically in rural areas and cornfields. and communities sprung up around them. Is it safe to say that they became a cottage industry?
Well, I think it's because early when prisons were built and they were viewed as simply punitive places, they were designed to be far away from the people,
right,
to send people off, to exile them to prison. So, you know, here we have Waupun, Wisconsin, a fair distance from Milwaukee, and it's probably filled in large part with people from urban areas. And so, you know, there was at one point a trend and a movement to try and move the prisons closer to where the prisoners were coming from. But, you know, it's the problem is not as much where they're located as what happens at the prison in terms of solving for recidivism and the conditions at the prisons. And, you know, at some points, Wisconsin has been a leader in trying to make sure that that imprisonment had a possibility of improving the lot of the people who were imprisoned and bringing them back to society in a productive way. And I'm afraid that we've lost sight of that.
Well, you know, Sandy, I'm kind of connected with organizations that prisoners who came out and who, you know, worked really hard to address and help others who have come out of prison. They're doing some great things. I've had them on in the past, and I guess it's time to bring them back on, many of them. But I would ask you, you know, when they moved the prisoners so far away, they disconnected them from their families. Their families could not get to where they are. And many of these people aren't in jail for being murderers, Sandy. For heaven's sake, some of them drug dealing and some other things. And what wound up happening is these people come back, 95% or more of these people come back to the communities that they left. And so when you don't do rehabilitation, Sandy, what do you do by having these people locked away and not doing anything to work towards having them, you know, rehabilitated? You make them more hardened than they were before they left.
Yeah, I mean, some have described prisons as being universities of crime, right? You might go there for something that was maybe drug possession, but in the process of being in the prison, you get hardened, and you come out of prison more likely to commit crimes, possibly of violence, rather than to get back into society in a productive way.
Last thing on this, Brendan. So it's not just adults, it's also our youth populations. This creates the pathway from juvie to prison. He's also right. The juvenile facilities, same way, move completely away where parents cannot get there to visit their children. And it's just a vicious cycle, vicious circle. So thank you, all of you who chimed in, but we're going to move on. Sandy is down in Sarasota, Florida, and he's got a brood of young people down there. Sandy, what are you doing down at Sarasota?
Well, there's an organization called the Milwaukee Rowing Club, which is high school athletes, boys and girls, men and women, who row competitively. And we're down here competing in the national competition. Both the boys and the girls crews qualified in the Midwest qualifying competition to come to nationals. So Sarasota is the location of a facility that was constructed for the World Championship rowing in about 1998. And since then, many of the national competitions have been held here in Sarasota. Unfortunately, for me and the young folks, this competition occurs in June in Sarasota. And let me tell you, June in Sarasota is not a place where you necessarily want to be.
All right. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Talking about you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The number of deer testing positive for chronic wasting disease set a new record over the past year. The Department of Natural Resources says almost 1,600 deer samples turned up positive. That's the most in a one-year period since tracking began in 1999. State lawmakers say they're disappointed by the allegations against the former warden at the Waupun State Prison and eight former employees. They're all charged with felonies linked to two of four inmate deaths in the last year.
This starts at the top. You know, I guess I'm not totally surprised that Secretary Carr resigned. I think, I know in the Senate we had some serious concerns about his leadership.
Senator Howard Markline talking about recently retired Corrections Secretary Kevin Carr. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. On Thursday, the Duluth City Council discussed a potential $600,000 settlement in relation to a man who was shot through a door by a police officer in September of 2020. According to a Northern News Now report, the shooting occurred when officers responded to a domestic violence call at a downtown apartment. Officer Tyler Liebfried allegedly fired several shots through the door after hearing two loud bangs, one of which hit Jared File in the shoulder. The city council could vote on the settlement on Monday. There's a new member of the Duluth Police Department's K-9 division. According to law enforcement authorities, Officer Nate Abbott and a two-year-old Dutch Shepherd named Gus completed their training on May 23rd, and Gus officially became the fourth member of the K-9 division. Officials say Gus specializes in narcotic detection, tracking, article searching, and apprehension. Officer Abbott says he's excited to help remove harmful substances from the streets and to engage in the community with Gus. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Bachelorette star Trista Sutter has vowed to provide more information about her absence from the public eye and why she missed Mother's Day a few weeks ago. Thank goodness. Tristan's husband Ryan and two teen children, Maxwell and Blakesley, that's right, not Blake, not Blakey, not even Blake Lee, but Blakesley, had no idea where she was, prompting her husband to make social media posts like, "I really wish I could talk to you, and I want to know how you're doing." I guess he didn't have her number. Trista says she will soon provide details about her absence and hopefully the name Blakesley. If you're looking to add a few pounds or for a TV snack, try Wendy's new saucy nugs. That's right, the Wendy's scientists have found a way to improve the chain's nuggets, making them saucier and presumably nuggier. Wendy's also announced that really impatient eaters can pre-order nuggets early on the app or website and get free delivery. Not quite to your mouth, but to your front door. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and breezy today. We'll get to 73 this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy this evening. Scattered thunderstorms after midnight, our low 55. Tomorrow, a few clouds in the morning, then sunny with a high of 71. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband Jim would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, "Hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead." We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome WBAY morning anchor Emerson Lehman, who will talk about a big racing event here in Wisconsin. And Terry Barr joins us for a Friday night chat and some new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Don't go changing to try and please me. Never let me down before. familiar, and I don't see you anymore.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you know, as I was preparing for the show this morning, Sandy, I was, you know, paging through the Washington Post, and this article came up. And this, you know, I think, Sandy, is what you've been pointing to for a long time about the middle class and what needs to be done, right? So the Biden administration is the most progressive in U.S. history. Let me read a paragraph or so, and then, Sandy, love to have you chime in, and you, the listening audience, as well. Although climate change is supposedly an existential crisis, the threat to existence seems to be of secondary importance. Given the latest depletion of government petroleum reserves to encourage low gasoline prices and high gratitude among voters, the million barrel release, 1/9 of the nation's average daily use, will have no noticeable effect on prices. What they're talking about, Sandy, is, you know, right over the holiday, the gas prices jumped up to, in the city of Milwaukee, $3.99. And I know, Sandy, you always talk about, you know, commodities and those kinds of things, but it jumped up from what was $3.40 to $3.99. Well, Joe Biden has since released another, you know, million barrels of the reserve, and the prices have gone down somewhat. But it's at the root of it. President Biden's whole of government approach not only to promoting his reelection, but also the progressive agenda of swarming American life with government. Beyond serial student loan forgiveness, marijuana liberalization, and multiple other many panders, Biden can truthfully boast that he has provided the most progressive governance in U.S. history. Sandy, your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm not sure that's a pro-Biden or an anti-Biden kind of a article. It sounds a little bit on the anti side, but I think Biden is trying to deal with the issues that face the middle class family, the budget issues in particular, the ones that have them living paycheck to paycheck. And I think the problem for the middle class family is identifying their problem. You know, it's evolved slowly. It's a bit like the frog in the cold water on the pan and the stove. And as the water gets hot, you know, the frog, you know, gets all the way to the point of dying from in the boiling water without perceiving the change. And so what's happened to the middle class family, where they've gone from one breadwinner with getting them into the middle class, not needing child daycare, not needing to pay for their own health care because it was paid for at work, not needing to worry about their retirement because a pension came with the job, to a new evolved economy in which workers pay for their own health care or a significant portion of it and have very expensive deductibles associated with health care, where they have to fund their own pension, where they have a student debt that didn't exist back 40 years ago. So, you know, things have evolved in this direction where really, it's going to take government programs and government attention to change the way the middle class economy operates. And that's really where progressive attention needs to get paid. And I think that is where Joe Biden administration is paying some attention. But I'm not sure that it's talked about enough, nor does the public understand enough what the problem is. So we have a middle class that's angry with their situation. And some of them have a reflex reaction to that, which is to become angry and to want to vote the incumbents out, to want to vote for an anti-establishment candidate. And I think a lot of the MAGA movement is actually premised within the anger of the middle class associated with their problems, and they aren't recognizing what the solution to those problems might be.
You know, Sandy, if you look at it from the perspective of those people who are caught up in this condition, There is no other way out if government doesn't step forward. Where is the way out, Sandy, if government doesn't take a leading role? The business community is not going to step forward and say, hey, let's do this. Why don't we just unilaterally raise the what we pay to people, and let our bottom line take a hit, because we're going to do what's right. I mean, government is the only entity that can change that. Is it safe to say that?
Government is the one that can change the way things happen. Government changed the pension rules to allow for 401ks, and the 401k transition is what caused people to have to enabled them and enabled employers to ask their employees to fund their own pensions. And there might have been one-time pay increases at the time that it was implemented, but they haven't kept up. So it isn't so much the compensation that's being earned, it's the fringe benefits and the way benefits are being borne, and the cost of the benefits and who's bearing them. Almost all the benefits that are now borne by employees themselves used to be borne by the employer before the paycheck was cut. And that's the change that needs to occur. And much of that change could occur in the workplace, but I don't think it's going to occur within the workplace without government motivation.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. And Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you, as always. You say what, sir?
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Yes, sir.
What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. So yesterday I hit the road. I had some things to do, and I was in the Wisconsin Rapids area. And gasoline was $3.09, $3.12 a gallon.
Wow.
I think the highest price we saw was $3.19. Now, I just remember last week filling up at like $3.99.
Yes.
Here in Kenosha.
That's the same thing.
Well, so here, this is what goes through my mind. As I recall, and maybe Sandy can fill in here, but wasn't oil pricing highly regulated throughout the 50s, 60s, and then things changed in the 70s? It seems to me, I recall, and I remember the gas wars. I remember 17 cents a gallon back way, way, way back in the 60s. But wasn't the oil industry governed at 9.5% margins for like decades, Sandy? As I recall, that was true. Fill in that. Help me out then.
I'm expert on the gas industry, and the gas industry, not by gas, I don't mean gasoline, I mean natural gas, was highly regulated. The price of natural gas going into the pipelines, the price of natural gas coming out of the pipelines was all regulated. With respect to oil pipelines, I'm just not as familiar with the history of the regulation of oil and the movement of oil in the pipelines, but I'm confident that there is now less regulation associated with the pipeline movement of oil than there was, but I can't speak to it directly.
Sandy, I guess what Mike is saying, and it's absolutely correct, the week prior to Memorial Day, the gasoline prices jumped almost 50 cents a gallon, and they went up to $3.99 and right before the holiday. And now
I think what he was pointing out is the fact that geographically the price is quite different in the state, that in the places of high demand in southeast Wisconsin, the price seems to be higher than it is in Wisconsin Rapids. And I can't speak to the other than the fact that that the price is set now by the retailers and the distributors who are private businesses, and they might well understand the marketplace and the demand for gasoline well enough to know where the demand is, what we call demand inelastic, meaning that if the price goes up, they still sell the same amount of gas. And so, and I suspect that the Southeast corridor of Wisconsin does have a much more robust demand for gasoline.
So Mike, hang on a second. So Sandy, so according to this article, Joe Biden released a million barrels of gas or oil, and the prices have now gone back down. I thought I was delusional when I saw now the prices back in Milwaukee are $3.19. So by releasing those barrels from our reserve, the prices went back down. So that can, a million barrels of oil can change the dynamic from $3.99 to $3.19 that quickly?
Well, the commodities are very volatile, and the price for a commodity is determined at the margin. So if you can increase the volume of supply dramatically in the short term, you can have a significant impact on the price of commodities. As I've talked about it, commodity prices are volatile, meaning they move quite a bit based on relatively small changes in demand and supply. And so that's why they can use the reserve to have an impact on the price of gasoline. A million gallons will have a relatively short-term impact, and it's probably, however, sufficient to suffice to affect the price over, for instance, a Memorial Day weekend when the price otherwise might jump. The fact is that the government can have an impact on it, but the price of commodities is a profoundly volatile thing, and it will be controlled primarily by those who produce oil and those who purchase the oil.
Mike?
Well, here's and thank you for that explanation. It makes a lot of sense. But number one, it was the same company that I buy my gas from locally here in Kenosha that I bought in Wisconsin Rapids. But number two is, we talk about free market. Every time I see this volatility of pricing up or down, I see all the gas stations in that same neighborhood at the
do the same thing,
price.
Right?
I have a hard time believing that this is a free open market. It just doesn't make sense to me that all these companies can decide to raise or lower their pricing to the penny within a moment or two of each other. No, that doesn't make any sense to me. We need a government, and this is really the whole thrust of my call, that is strong enough to take on all the boogeymen, that are, fighting against democracy or trying to get super rich at the expense of others. We have to have processes and people in place that are good at protecting our rights and as our citizens. Smaller government just falls into laissez-faire economics, which turns into something completely different.
Hey, Mike,
than the Republic.
Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond?
Well, Mike is right. I have had a big concern over the last 40 years, the extent to which the antitrust efforts of the government have gone to sleep and the extent to which we find ourselves dealing with ever larger retail businesses who are then setting the price that we face. And competition is what solves for that. I mean, there are two options, either competitive marketplaces that work or planned economies. And I think most places have come to realize that planned economies don't work. So it takes competition and competitive markets to work. But we need a government that makes sure they're working. And Mike is right, instantaneous price movement is a reflection of improper markets.
All right, 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789. We'll turn the page on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true.
In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Friday, so you know by now it's my guest Sandy Williams is on the line all the way from Sarasota, Florida. Let's go to the phone lines, and let's go to Tim from Eau Claire. Hey, good morning to you, Tim. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, you were talking about, you know, income and all that, and the MAGA people. Well,
I didn't mention anything about the MAGA people, sir.
Okay, well, I'm just gonna say that, like, all these people, they listen to Bannon and all these people. They got rich people telling them what they're gonna do for them. Well, that's hardly gonna work because they're all millionaires. And they don't really care. They want their own agenda. That's what, you know, they're being misled.
Oh, you're saying that, you know, it's really a coincidence that, you know, that you bring that up, because the next topic that Sandy and I are going to be talking about is the link between news Americans consume and things they believe. You know, Sandy, I think that's the point Tim is reaching, is, you know, people believe things based on the things that they're consuming. And you know, how do you get around that?
Well, I mean, people tend to believe things that they're hearing, I guess, and that they're listening to. For instance, the state of the economy. When they go out and survey the public and ask them, well, how do you feel about the economy? The answer seems to be far more dictated by the partisan view of the people and the news sources that the people listen to or read than it is to their sense of what's going on in the economy itself, because they're all living in that same economy. And yet the vision of it, the perception of it is very, very different. And I think that's one of the things that has people currently taking polls, scratching their head a bit about how much perceptions have seem now to be bent by people's social media experience, for instance, rather than their real life perceptions.
You know, issues, importance, confidence in reality and acceptance of false claims vary widely from news sources. You know, Sandy, I'm a guy who watches conservative news. Maybe I deserve a beating for that. But anyway, I've always watched conservative news. I still watch it. I listen to conservative radio outlets almost every day. So I think I have a pretty good grasp on what is being said in those circles, Sandy. And some of the things that are being said, Sandy, are really out there. And people consume that. And they think that to be truthful.
One of the things that people, I think there is a perception out there that crime is rising and that the world, that the American society is falling into a ruin that is based on criminal activity, when the facts are that crime is falling, violent crime is falling, and the rate of crime generally is falling. And so that's an interesting misperception. There's the perception that immigrants are people who are released from penal colonies,
yes,
and
all
insane
drug
asylums
dealers
from around the world, and they're all drug dealers, which of course isn't based on a real perception people are having. It's being based on what they're being told, because it is far from the truth. The fact is that the immigrants, whether they be legally or illegally on our soil, seem to be more law-abiding than the people who reside here and have resided here traditionally. And so these are big misperceptions, and I think we should ask ourselves, why do people get these misperceptions? Or why are they willing to believe them when they are told them?
Well, you know, Donald Trump said the other day, I forgot where he was, yesterday. And Donald Trump said, if I don't get elected, the United States as we know it will cease to exist. Sandy, he makes a statement like that, and people eat that up. They don't even ask the question of themselves, why would I believe such an absurd thought that if because one man doesn't get elected, the United States as we know it will cease to exist?
I think the left is saying the same thing. There might be more merit in what they're saying in terms of the announced intentions of the candidate from the right seem to be to change things dramatically, and particularly how a bunch of democratic institutions operate. But so what we've got is maybe the left saying that, and then I think Donald Trump's strategy has always been feed them the medicine that they're trying to give the public. So he's basically taking the mantra and turning it on its head. And to do that, he has to cast America in a situation to the public as if it is a collapsing society. And it's not true. But we tend to have a bunch of people who are believing it.
All right, 844-967-2789. We'll continue this on the Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us for a TGIF edition. We have Peter Rapine of EBOM's World with a Week in Review and Brady Ewing taking a look at sports. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.